are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
It's the God Geeks coming at you again another week. And that intro song, it just warms your heart. We know that. This is the place, man. This is the place where you get all the theology and all the geekology in one spot. And today we got some, we got a fun show today.
Yeah.
We get into the question of why does Jesus say that the world's going to hate us, and why do they hate us?
Yeah.
Why do they hate Jesus, and why do they hate his followers, and why does he tell us that?
Mm-hmm.
And in this week in geek, we geek out about all kinds of stuff, man.
Yeah.
We come up with a new we've come up
There's no limits to our geekiness.
Yeah, and we've come up with a really geeky game that we're going to start inserting into the podcast, and we're going to need your help naming it. We talk a little bit about food and the food industry. I've geeked out on some stuff like that this past week, and it's maybe helpful for you. Maybe something that you hear in there might challenge you to take some steps yourself in the way that you take food.
I've been challenged.
And James has been challenged, and that's going to be a fun thing to see unfold. We get into Westworld.
Yeah, the big reveal.
I give a final verdict on The Walking Dead. So it's a great show.
Great
it's a
show.
Lot of fun. We had a lot of fun doing it, and we have a lot of fun knowing that you guys are gonna have a lot of fun listening to it.
Yeah.
So here it is. It's Jedi Mind Tricks.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail. You must unlearn what you have learned.
Jedi Mind Tricks is the section of the show where we get into theology, and this week we're going to get into this topic of why does Jesus say and promise, really, that the world, it sounds weird to say it that way, why does Jesus let us know so clearly that the world is going to hate us because of him? And why does the world seemingly hate the church and I guess have such a hard time with Christianity? And so you watched something that was related to this subject.
I was excited when you brought up this topic, because a couple days ago I watched a BBC documentary that just kind of left me feeling sick to my stomach in a lot of ways. So that the title of the documentary is Preachers of Hate.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a BBC reporter who comes to America and interviews five or six different preachers of kind of a movement that would be similar to the Westboro Baptist movement.
Right.
So apparently Westboro Baptist is not the only church doing what Westboro Baptist does. And if you're not familiar with Westboro Baptist, they're that church that would go around and picket.
God hates fags, all that stuff, right? Yeah.
So these guys have fairly large churches now. This one out in Arizona has got like 200 members, and it's growing. And these are popular guys in their own circle. Anyways,
that's not surprising in today's culture.
No, not at all.
And the atmosphere that people are responding.
Well, and they were going
they
were going to political rallies of both sides.
But what's interesting to me to ask you about the documentary, did any of it have to do with actual Christianity?
No, and that is what was so interesting was these pastors would get up and be challenged by other pastors and challenged by people saying, well, what about sin in your life? What about what you're doing? And they're saying, I don't have any sin in my life. And so they were preaching.
Wow.
It was interesting.
So they were just false preachers.
False preachers, pretty much.
Just
but
liars.
What emboldened them, and what I thought was interesting, you know, because it tied into what you want to talk about, what emboldened them, and what when they were asked if they were right, they kept saying, everyone hates us. that's just confirmation we're right.
That's their confirmation.
That's their confirmation they're right. So, you know, the 300 phone calls they get.
Let's be clear.
That's not what we're talking about.
if you're a Class A jerk,
yeah, people are going to hate you. Exactly.
That doesn't have anything to do with Christianity.
So it was just one of many examples of them taking things out of context.
Well, because let's be fair, there are a lot of people who claim to be Christians who are complete. I mean, I could go into a list of cuss words about the kind of people they are, right?
Yeah.
And I'm that way myself sometimes, and I don't want to be.
I hate when I am.
Yeah. But I guess my it's thanks for like bringing that angle into it. Because I was actually thinking more along the lines of, you know, Jesus's actual followers, the people who believe in the gospel, the people who believe that, they didn't do anything good to be saved, but Christ did everything for them and saves them.
And that's despite, a message the world
despite
hates.
Despite the fact that they're a sinner, right?
Yeah.
So the question being like, you know, let's just rewind 2,000 years and go, what was happening when Jesus was walking around? I mean, reading the Gospels, I mean, he's healing sick people, right?
Raising people from the dead.
Raising people from the dead,
right?
He's casting out evil, right? So he's come to forgive people's sins. He's come to give them a righteousness that they never had. Mm-hmm. He's come to defeat Satan for them. Mm-hmm. He's come to usher in this beautiful reign of God, which looks like paradise and is paradise, and this is what he's all about, and it has nothing to do with how good you are. In fact, it has everything to do with how good he is,
right?
And this is the gospel, and this is what an actual Christian believes. And so why does the world hate us?
Yeah,
like why does the world hate that? that's because that is not misrepresented Christianity. That's actually
and the
New Testament.
Yeah, and all the people who were running around saying that got killed.
I mean
the majority. Yeah.
Yeah, and let's look around. I mean, actual real Christianity doesn't get any voice in the world. I mean, other than what's preached on a pulpit on Sunday morning in very few places, comparatively, compared to most places where there's no gospel, there's no good news, there's no Jesus, he's not the center of it, there's no forgiveness of sins, there's no sacraments, you know, there's none of the stuff that's fundamental to Christianity.
Right.
And
yet they call themselves fundamentalists.
But the actual Christianity in the world is very much marginalized, and when it's actually spoken, it's rejected. It's not liked. And so what is it about us?
That's interesting, because I've had students over the years tell me that they just turn their ears off when they hear preachers in the pulpit say, you're going to be persecuted for being a Christian. You're going to be persecuted for being a Christian. Because they tell me, well, I'm a Christian, I go to a school, whatever, and no one gets on my case about it. Well, okay. But what are you preaching out there?
You're living in a bubble, or you're
preaching a Christianity that it doesn't hurt anyone's feelings. Everything's okay.
I can tell you.
Yeah.
That if you believe that Jesus died for your sins and that you didn't do anything, they hate you.
You have no skin in the game.
They hate your guts.
Within and without the church in a lot of ways.
They hate you and they hate Jesus.
Yeah.
And this is shocking, and it does baffle my mind, but when I really think about it, I go, okay. Does someone who's really, really unhealthy, you know, like let's say they're overweight, they're obese, right? Are they really struggling with their weight or some
talking
some
about
of,
me again?
Oh, yeah okay. So I'm not specifically talking about you, but let's just say I was. So if you're struggling with your weight and then you see someone else who is sort of like obnoxiously super healthy.
One of those CrossFitters.
Of those CrossFitters, and not like me, because I don't do CrossFit. CrossFit does me. I'm not good at it. I'm not good at it at all. I just try to survive. But when someone who's super unhealthy, they look at someone who's sort of obnoxiously healthy, there may be part of them that says, good for you. But most of them is saying, I hate that guy.
Yeah.
And when someone who is struggling in poverty,
mm-hmm.
and can't get, you know, don't have enough to eat, mm-hmm. and they see someone with a ton.
Yeah.
They might be thinking good for you, but they're probably thinking, I hate that guy.
Yeah, I want that.
I hate that guy.
Yeah.
And I hate that he has it and he's obnoxious about it, even if the guy's not obnoxious about it.
Yeah.
Most rich people are obnoxious about it. And they don't realize it. And by the way, basically Americans, all of us are rich.
We're pretty
compared
obnoxious.
To the rest of the world. So we're pretty obnoxious about it too. But when, you know, it goes on down the line, you know, when someone is unattractive, in their own mind, they think, I'm not attractive. Uh-huh. I'm less than,
uh-huh.
I'm below average in looks or whatever. And they see someone that's beautiful.
They see me, then they get upset.
They see you and they're blown away by your beauty. They think, I hate this guy. Right. But,
yeah,
but
that's why they hate me.
But it's, so you go and you think about it and why does a terrorist organization like ISIS hate us? Why do they hate America? Well, they do hate our money and our power, but what they hate is that we're free.
Yeah.
They hate our freedom because they are imprisoned to an ideology that mm-hmm. doesn't give them the freedom. Mm-hmm. And they look at us and they say they're Satan.
Yeah.
But what they really hate is that we're not bound by the same lies that they're bound by, and they mm-hmm. hate our freedom. So mm-hmm. if you go down the list, you go, The reason that people hate the message of Christianity is because it doesn't have anything to do with them saving themselves.
Yeah, and the more I talk about that, the more people get upset.
And when you and you hear someone and see someone and know someone yeah. who has the abundant treasure of Christ,
yeah.
who has the abundant forgiveness of Christ, who has the beauty of Christ, who has the freedom of Christ.
It doesn't work for it every day.
And has the eternal life, the health, the eternal life of Christ. You're going to live forever.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, these things, and they look at you and they go, they're free, and I hate them for it. And it makes me hate them because I'm not that way, you know? So it's interesting that oftentimes the reaction to the freedom of a Christian is not, I wish I had that. It's, I hate you for it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it is, I wish I had that, and tell me more, and I want to, but most of the time it's good for you, buddy. Just don't bring it over
here.
Well,
I think some of it comes down to the power struggle kind of stuff. We were talking about it in one of my classes today. So if someone's truly free, you don't have control over them.
Yeah.
They don't owe you anything. There's,
well,
and that can scare some people.
Yeah. Well,
or they don't have skin in the game, which scares them too.
I think there's one more element. I think there's one more, and it's more complex than we can possibly cover in, you know, a short God Geeks episode. but I think another major reason that they hate us is that we're very hateable.
Yeah.
We suck totally. At being God's people.
Oh yeah. Big time.
And they look at us and they go, what makes you so special? And we say nothing.
Yeah.
You know, you know, we're not good at it.
No.
You know, I'm better at contempt than I am compassion.
Yeah.
I'm better at anger than I am love. You know, I am better at all the things that I'm not supposed to be good at than I am about all the things that Christ, has given me.
Yeah.
And Christ, I'm better at my own sinful identity than I am at Christ's identity.
Yeah.
And so it makes us more hateable, and you can't blame them,
no.
for hating us. So it's complex, and I don't know all the answers, but it is something fascinating to think about.
Yeah.
And it's true. And they don't hate us because we're preaching a message you hate. That's not why they hate us.
Yeah,
the clowns that are saying, well, they because they hate us, it's confirmation we're doing something right. No, that has nothing to do with it. They hate you because you're an idiot. You know,
that goes for me too.
Yeah, I wasn't. I know I pointed at you when I said
that,
but I wasn't talking about that. But anyway, that's a seed for us to plant. Maybe we'll revisit those thoughts. On another episode, but that's
cool.
Jedi Mind Tricks. And so what do we go into next, James?
This Week in Geek.
All right.
C-3PO has got to be the real nerd.
It's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Darth Vader was a cool character too, although he was the evil one.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, it's geek time this week in geek. We're gonna try something new this week, and hopefully, I think we're gonna keep doing it. We're gonna play a little bit of a game. And we'll need your help naming it. We haven't gotten that part down yet. Yeah. But here's the rules of the game.
That's how new this is.
Yeah, it's
so
new.
This is how cutting edge this is. We don't even have a name for it.
No name. So send us your suggestions for that. Okay, here's the game, though. Bill's going to name a possible movie that's coming out.
A future movie.
A future movie of some sort.
Let's say it could be like a hypothetical movie.
If
there was going to be a movie about this, or if there was going to be a TV show about this, who would be... You like, you're the producer's role. Who would you get to direct it? Who would you get to star in it? Like, who's your
we can get real geeky
director?
With this.
Who's your star for this, for whatever it is?
Do we have to follow the rules of, you know, space and time? Can I grab, you know, someone from Orson Welles?
No, let's make it.
We got to make it realistic.
No. Let's make it. We can time travel.
Great. Yeah. That's more fun.
We can shoot portals and wormholes and bring back director. That'll be even, why not? It's a game.
Chaplin for the origin story of Jar Jar Binks.
I don't want it that way.
No, okay.
No, I'm kidding. All right. So this week's, the little game for this week is a Boba Fett, a future Star Wars movie about Boba Fett.
Nice.
Like his.
I like it.
Like his, who he is.
Boba
like,
Fett where?
All right. So I put you on the spot. You haven't had time to think about it, but I bet it wouldn't be hard for you to come
up
with.
Not too hard.
Do you know who you would go with?
I know who I'd go with director.
Okay.
And it's partially because I listened to an interview this week with him. Francis Ford Coppola.
Okay, wow.
I think that'd be great for Boba Fett.
Sure.
Give it kind of a gangster at the same pace, if you will, of Godfather, but Boba Fett.
Right.
And seeing the seedy underworld of all the bounty hunters whatnot.
All right.
I think that'd work well. And I'd go with a young De Niro.
A young De Niro. Okay.
Let's keep going with the Francis Coppola thing.
Consistency. So this is why you asked about the time machine.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
but that's not a realistic. So maybe if I went with a modern person, maybe Christopher Nolan would be really cool for a Boba Fett movie.
As the director.
As the director.
Okay, that's my director.
That's your director?
Who I would go with.
Yeah.
I would go with Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
And I would go with Javier Bardem for Boba Fett.
That's perfect.
I know.
That's perfect. Even looks kind of like the kid that played him in the prequel
trilogy. Welcome.
Yeah. That's the correct answer. There are no other correct answers.
I think what you could do, and this may ruin it for everyone, but you could do, was it Sarlacc? What's the pit?
Sarlacc pit. Yeah,
that we find out because the whole thousand years thing.
Yeah,
that's because actually when you go in there, you enter into a time warp type deal.
All right,
and so you get Christopher Nolan going like where he went in and he comes out in slime and everything, but he's in a different deal. He's got to fight his way back to like out of Sarlacc, you know. But with Christopher Nolan, super cool.
That would be cool.
And then you could get as he's in that alternate dimension, he could be thinking back on his life, and you could get little segments of his life as he goes.
Flashbacks.
Anyway, we could geek about this for forever. This game may
that was the dorkiest thing we've ever
this
done.
This game may take over the show.
A new segment.
But anyway, if you dig the game, shoot us some ideas for the game. Hey, what would you guys do for this movie, and maybe what you would do?
Oh yeah, some suggestions.
What
for
you
movies
would
too.
Do, and then but we also need a name for the game.
Yeah.
Name that game. So anyway, this week in Geek, we're going to talk about some sort of stuff that we haven't really talked about before. Odd stuff. Mainly because I've been geeking out about it.
Okay.
I've been geeking out about, and this it'll get personal here for a minute. I was last week struggling with I was tired and cranky, and that's normal. Those kind of things.
Yeah, that last
have,
week
have become kind of normal. But I had a real sort of high anxiety, sort of almost anxiety attack kind of thing.
Okay,
where I felt like I got hit with like a lot of stress at one time, and
a lot of that going around.
You have like an overwhelming feeling, you know. And obviously the Lord's Prayer is a huge comfort for me in moments like that. And I did pray that, but it also, I think part of praying through and thinking through all these things, And I've talked about how I have anger issues and my temper is not what I wish it were. But I really started, it caused me to do some soul searching and some taking inventory of some things in my life. And, what I realized was about three years ago, I went on a big health kick and I began working out pretty consistently and I changed the way that I ate.
Okay.
And I actually adopted for a good 8 months to almost a year, a paleo diet. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with...
That's less refined foods for the most part, right? Anything that could be hunted and gathered? Is that kind of the gist?
It is. Some people kind of nickname it a caveman diet, but essentially what it is what you're eating is fruits, vegetables, meats,
nuts.
Yeah. So like if you could kill it or you could gather it, hunter-gatherer.
I can kill a cow.
Yeah. So you can eat all the steak you want. You can eat butter. You can eat eggs. You can eat bacon. You can eat vegetables. You can eat fruits, but you don't you drink water and coffee with no creamer, no milk, no, you cut out all of the, anything with, and what's interesting is, it reminded me how good I used to feel when I was doing that. And for the past, several days,
did you go back to it?
I've gone back to it, and it's changed everything for me.
Feeling better?
Oh, unbelievably better. Huh, sleeping better. More energy. Remembering is all the things that I'd learned about that I'd kind of forgotten and kind of had slipped back into my my world. And so I started geeking out on a lot of the food documentaries that are out there right now. And there's a bunch of them that are fascinating.
Yeah.
Some of them aren't even new, but one of them that I watched several years ago was Fed Up.
Yeah. You were telling me about that one.
There's Food Inc.
That's a big one.
That's a spooky one.
Yeah.
There's Hungry for Change. There's a couple like that, but then there's a really geeky one that I think you would enjoy and probably hate, but it's called That Sugar Film. And it's what the guy does.
Mm-hmm.
He does the same thing that the guy for Super Size Me did,
yeah.
but Morgan Spurlock did that with Super Size Me, which is a good film, I think.
Yeah.
It's disturbing. But what this guy does that's even more disturbing is he adds 40 teaspoons a day because he doesn't eat sugar like part of his normal diet normally. Okay. But the average Australian, which is, he's Australian, but he comes to America and everything during this, the average Australian eats 40 teaspoons of sugar a day in their normal diet. And so what he does is he doesn't add sugar to anything he specifically eats foods that are marketed as healthy, but actually have hidden sugar in them.
Oh yeah. So that's big.
Everything he eats,
low fat, but lots of sugar,
is marketed as heart healthy, good. Yeah. And he gains you got to watch the show. Cause in less than 6 weeks, he goes from almost gets liver disease. He gets to the point. And here's what's crazy is he's not going wheels off eating candy and sugar and McDonald's. Like Morgan Spurlock was like eating.
Yeah. And Morgan Spurlock didn't walk anymore. He didn't exercise.
This guy was going, I'm going to maintain everything that I normally did. All I'm going to do is I'm going to eat this stuff that's packaged as healthy. And it's got all of this hidden sugar, which is fructose and all these things. And what you realize is it's no wonder that our country is the most obese country in the world and diabetes. Children are getting type 2 diabetes and having to have their limbs taken off. Because the point being, the sugar that we take in,
it's about as concentrated a calorie as you can get is sugar.
And it's the most unnatural.
Unnatural. Yeah.
Your body doesn't naturally know how to deal with all of it. And your brain doesn't know how to deal with all of it. And it doesn't, the foods that we eat are high in calories and low in nutrition.
Yeah.
So we're hungry all the time, and we're eating more.
Yeah,
we're,
that's my problem.
Hungry
oh, yeah.
all the time, and you want the sugar because you just need that spike,
it.
And you need that.
And there's the endorphin rush from it too.
Well, it's
yep.
it's a
white powder
like,
drug.
It is like cocaine to your brain. It really is.
Yeah.
Same centers of your brain. So anyway, I've been geeking out about that, and it's been healthy for me personally to revisit some of that stuff and see how drastically everything has changed and how and I realized I was actually having my little anxiety episode last week while I was in the fast food line at a Whataburger waiting to get my onion rings.
You can't talk bad about Whataburger. No. That's the
I
one exception.
I'm just saying there are so much.
I might have to try this paleo stuff, but I'm going to have a binge day every week.
If you That'll undo it. But anyway, that's not all we were going to geek out about.
Oh yeah.
We're going to
get other geeky
stuff a little bit more.
Should we talk?
If you end up doing, here's what we need to do. If you end up deciding to do something like that,
let's track my weight.
That's what I was going to say.
Let's do it.
Well, not just your weight, because weight's not the best metric for fitness.
Well, when you're fat as me, it is.
No,
okay.
It's not. because you can actually gain weight as you're gaining muscle.
Right.
And you would most certainly would if you switch to high protein, fewer carbs.
I think that coupled with me shooting for 10,000 a day steps again. I'd lost a lot of weight before I hurt my back, and I think I'm finally healed now. It's a year after surgery, so I can go back to all the walking too, which will be good.
Yeah,
I think we track this with me. This will be a good thing to check in on every so often.
It'd be really fun. It'd be really cool. I think what I would warn you about is if you go
how handsome I'll become.
Well, that's what I'll warn all the ladies out there about. what I would warn you about is how hard it's going to be that first week to really.
I'm waiting until after Thanksgiving.
Like a heroin,
don't even think
like
I'm
heroin,
starting before Thanksgiving.
Like a heroin. Okay. That's how it never works. But anyway, that would be fun. That would be fun. That would be really
I'll
cool.
I'll start on Friday. Well, you can eat pretty paleo with Thanksgiving, I'm sure.
Oh, meat and vegetables. I mean, as long as you're
but
not eating.
None of my mother's rolls. Okay. Fine.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
A lot of that stuff that's triggering those brain emotional attachments.
I'm feeling happy right now.
So
guilty
Westworld.
At the same time. Westworld. Let's say spoiler alert.
Well, let's first of all let's touch a quick base with The Walking Dead.
I'm not caught up.
Well, you don't need to. It's not any good.
I don't care to be
it's
right
now. It's not any good.
Okay, thank you. I was going to ask you.
It's almost unbearable.
I'm so excited about other shows. I'm not worried about that.
It's like every character in the show that they've built on for six seasons is now somebody totally different.
Okay.
It's so dumb.
No, thank you.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway, doesn't mean I'm going to stop watching.
We'll
I'm
find
still
something
giving,
else
I'm,
with zombies.
I don't want to give up on it because I've been watching it for six seasons.
Yeah, I might. I'll watch it
but
eventually.
But I am highly disappointed in this
bummer.
Anyway, Westworld's great though.
Westworld's awesome.
Big event.
Yeah,
if you
so spoiler.
There's big spoiler. If you haven't seen the episodes of Westworld, then just stop the podcast
and
now.
Yeah, stop now. Come back later. All right, you're back. Okay, now I think we saw this one coming. We're not the only ones who saw it coming because they telegraphed that. You may think someone's human, but they might be a host, and they did that in the very first episode with what's his face, the love interest of Dolores, the host, Teddy. Teddy turned out in the first episode we find out he's not a guest, he is a host.
Yeah.
So they set the stage for that early on.
Yeah. They let you know don't get comfortable with everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know we said I think the first time we talked about Westworld one of the employees is going to turn out to be a host.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Yeah.
And I think we threw out, what is his name? Now I'm blanking.
Well, Bernard and the female that he actually.
Yeah. We were thinking, which one? Which
that he
one?
Went Terminator on this episode.
Terminator. That's
we,
the right
we,
term.
We kind of thought that that one of them might be, but I was thinking it was her because.
Oh, really?
I
was leaning Bernard.
Because of the comment that he made to her about, she said something to him about, I don't appreciate your analysis or what, there was an exchange between the two of them, which is interesting now to go back and would be interesting to go back and watch knowing that he was the host all along, but he was inquiring to her, and she kind of kicked back at him like, I'm not one of your hosts. I'm not one of your Androids.
Right.
Kind of thing.
And I thought it, another conversation between them, I think they're in bed or something. And, he brings up that hosts sometimes talk to each other to practice their skills.
Yeah.
And she's like, are you doing that to me right now?
Yeah.
So that was a little bit leading.
Right.
And then when Ford is talking to Bernard, he's like, I know how that mind of yours works.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Which I think is great. I'm Bernard is the right one for them to have become a host. I think it makes the most sense. They've set up some interesting things for us to guess about in the future.
Yeah.
You know, I think they've already laid the groundwork that some of the techs could be hosts too. I mean, they definitely.
Sure. And why wouldn't they want
free cheap labor?
And spies.
Oh yeah, spies everywhere.
They're hosts that they can go back and get all the information and download all the stuff that they get. And really, to me, one of the biggest mysteries continues to be, you know, Ford. What his whole deal is, because I mean, is he just a, I'm going to be disappointed if he's just kind of a crazy old man.
There's going to be more than that. They've already laid some.
I feel like.
Well, he's got those family issues and still has a robot family that he's reprogrammed to be more.
Well, to be like his family as he was a kid, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what he's.
Yeah.
You know, kind of.
So do you think that the host that was being built in that underground room is going to replace her? Do you think?
Fascinating. So. No one will know she's dead.
Right. So here's my theory.
So that she was killed down there. So that her now her body parts are down there and can be used.
Yeah, they can use her DNA, et cetera. And the other thing too is, in that one scene a couple episodes back where she's sitting down with Ford, and they have that real tense conversation, before that machine comes to destroy that. Ford says to her, "I know." Everything about you. I know you. I know your memories. It basically is what he's implying. So I don't think he'd have a hard time programming her into a clone of sorts.
You just brought up, I mean, this may take it too far, and they may go there knowing J.J. Abrams and them, but is Ford actually Ford, or was Ford dead for a long time?
Exactly.
You know, is Arnold... Is Arnold dead, but Ford is Arnold?
Well,
you know what I mean? Like,
here's the other option, too, that's kind of crazy. Do you remember when Ford shows a picture to Bernard of him and Arnold? Remember that picture?
Yeah.
Did you notice how it's framed so that there's an empty spot on the right?
No, I'm not that much of a geek. I didn't do a frame by frame.
So basically, it looks like it's missing a person.
Yeah.
Right? And they've set up that if you're a host and they don't want you to see something, you don't see it.
Right.
So it's possible that either Bernard was there.
Was there. He didn't see himself.
Or
because
the person Bernard
like,
is based on.
It doesn't look like anything to me.
It doesn't look anything to me.
Yeah, it doesn't look like anything to me when they can't.
So Bernard could be a host version of Arnold for all we know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, different looks maybe or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
So then it begs the question, I think future episodes will go this direction because it's a natural one for sci-fi. Are they able to map someone's personality from a brain and implant it into a person? So can they retrieve your memories, your personality, and put it into a host? And if that's the case, can you live forever then?
Your consciousness move on to a host body. Yeah,
and
host.
Is that real life?
And
is it really
why
you?
They call you a host?
Exactly.
Because you're hosting a consciousness.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Not a host for the part, but
a host for
someone's consciousness. Yeah. Interesting. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I love this show. More religious overtones, too, and more... The titles are what I'm paying attention
incredible
now, also.
Incredible exchange about... and I can't remember her name, who wants to leave the park.
Mm-hmm.
She's getting those two guys to make her...
Maeve? Is that Maeve?
Okay, so she wants out.
She wants out.
You won't be able to operate when you're out. They've designed you to be here and only here. And she says to them, "Do I look like I'm afraid?" Like her whole point is, I want to die. I've died so many times. I'm an expert at it. And like that was the most beautiful. And it was like it, to me, it was there's an undercurrent there of not being afraid to die is the whole Christian life.
It's
like you've died with Christ. You you die I've daily died before. And you, you rise think I'm afraid with him. To die. Died, you know,
yeah.
It's and I've got a song about it. You know, yeah. Not to plug that song, but this old death is nothing new to me.
Yeah,
but
I thought of it when I saw that scene.
No, I mean,
yeah.
That's the whole thing. It's like yeah. It's what she was saying. It's like I'm an expert at dying. I'm not afraid of it.
Yeah.
And that's what we have in Christ. So and that's a good cool. way to end the show.
It's a great way to end it.
And This Week in Geek and God Geeks. And yep. So don't forget to name that game. And
name that game. I like that.
Send us some the name game. I don't know. Yeah. That's no good. We can't use that title. Nope. But we'll see y'all next week on the God Geeks podcast.
That was, of course, God Geeks.